You know how it is when you get a craving, right, Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to have whatever it is.
Yep.
Nothing else will suffice. Well, kids get that too, apparently. Story out of Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. Did you see this?
Yes.
I love this too, because I can identify with it. My children did something similar at this age. Kid wakes up in the morning, man, he's got to have a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. I get it. I actually love their spicy chicken. I get a craving for it from time to time. So I understand. But, you know, normally I can resist. He was like, why not? So he breaks out of his home early in the morning while his parents are still sleeping, breaks out of his home and walks blocks away. This is in Jacksonville, to the Chick-fil-A. Finds the place, no problem. Enters, walks into the popular fast food restaurant by himself. This is what cracks me up, Lee. You know, he's 5. He doesn't think anyone will notice that.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just another person in line.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't have any money.
Well, of course not.
But that's okay, right? Details. So he orders the sandwich he wants. Isn't that great? Yeah. He orders the sandwich he wants. And the manager's like, okay, hey, why don't I come sit with you, bud, while you eat your sandwich? And I call 911 here. Yeah. And so he does. The boy, identified as William, his last name hasn't been published, was just sitting there eating a breakfast sandwich in the booth with the manager, talking it up, having a great time when the police arrived. Mm-hmm. Actually, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office shows up because, of course, they called. They let William kindly finish his breakfast. He asks, are you going to take me to jail? So he did have some sense that he maybe shouldn't be doing this, Lee.
Yeah.
The body cam footage is hilarious. Anyway, still in his pajamas, by the way. Which isn't all that unusual if you go to Walmart. And,
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. Like a third of the women in there are still in their pajamas. I don't get that, but whatever.
Or in the school pickup line.
Yeah, that too. I don't get it. But anyway, how about we just upgrade to sweatpants? Can we strive for sweatpants? No? Okay. Jeans, I know, is a stretch too far. Okay. All right. Anyway, so police driving around and they're asking William, is that your house? Is that your house? Well, they pull up to this house, and it's actually the one with this big fence around it, with this big electronic gate that the police have trouble breaking into. So they still haven't figured out how William got out. They knock on the door. Parents are still asleep.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're shocked to find their son was not where he belonged. But everybody's safe. So the boy's father, identified as Phil, said his son, quote, had an adventure, unquote.
Yeah.
Did your kids ever do anything like this?
No, threatened to, but
see that I have this theory on children that like they will at some point exceed what you think they're capable of. And that's when they're in the most danger. We had, when we lived in Myrtle Beach, Saturday morning, the kids would always be up at like the crack of dawn. So we'd be like, you know, half comatose, still laying there. We could hear them downstairs. No big deal. My husband and I are laying there one Saturday morning. Like we're both in and out of it. We're half asleep. Because, you know, you can hear the kids downstairs. And then suddenly we both sat bolt upright at the same exact moment. I'll never forget this because we both realized, where's the noise? There's no noise. Yeah. That's never good when you have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. Like, it's too quiet. So we go running down the stairs. And we had all these, like, child locks. We had a series of child locks on the doors, not just one. And they had figured out how to get through them. And we lived on a major thoroughfare. Like very heavy traffic. It was one of those roads that cuts through a neighborhood, but it's not a neighborhood road. You know, it like separates two sides of a neighborhood. It's a major thoroughfare. And there was no sidewalk on it. And where'd they go? I don't know. And so we're looking. We finally find them. They're just walking down the road. I don't know where they were going. You know, kind of thing. I'd have looked at that on a Saturday morning at like, I don't know what time it was, 7 a.m. or something. And be like, those are terrible parents. Where are their parents?
Well, I kind of wonder why I haven't heard that about the William at the Chick-fil-A, you know.
I'd be a hypocrite if I said that. I know where the kid is. Wouldn't we all?
We've all had those type of situations, similar moments. To that.
Yeah, so my husband wore my daughter out, and that never happened again. So she got quite the spanking. But
spare the rod and spoil the child.
Well, I know, but you can't have them walking down the thoroughfare.
Yeah.
They'll get hit. You know, I was glad they made it as far as they did. So this has happened at my house before, and we tighten up the child locks.
Oh, all right. I'm just thinking back. I did have something almost like this. When my son was in high school, and was dating this girl from a nearby community. There was one night, and we noticed we didn't see his car in the driveway. We thought he was not home yet, and it was really getting late, school night or whatever. So we called the girlfriend's parents. No, he left here a long time ago, and we were just starting to panic. And we didn't think to look in his room where he was already in there asleep. Had gotten there, and we didn't know he was home, and he had parked his car in a different spot. So when we looked outside, we didn't see it. It was because it was further down in the yard than he usually parks. So that was a little bit of a scare.
At least you didn't lose him when he was five.
Well, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did. Still look guilty here, but yeah. No, I'll never forget, my sister was kind of a wild child, and she would sneak out at night with her friends, like when she was 12, you know, 13, whatever. I'll never forget the cop knocking on our door.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
And, hey, are you missing one of your children? My dad's like, nope, they're all asleep. that was my sister in the back seat. She always set the bar for the time that she had. She had a much better time as a teenager than I did. I was the good kid. But the kids had decided they were going to go to a cemetery, and they had this plan involving flashlights and beer. Anyway, it didn't come to fruition because the cop got them. But
yeah,
it's Halloween oriented. I don't know. She turned out okay though. But I'll never forget my dad standing there in his underwear telling the cop, no, that's not my child. not mine in the back. Wow, that is my child in the back of that cop car.
Not a good look.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, I guess we got to do serious stuff.
Must we?
Yeah, you have to. Trump giving, you know, I got to tell you that the list of people who want to retaliate against Donald Trump is going to grow longer and longer and longer. He's blowing up Tren de Aragua terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. He calls this the reverse terror attack strategy. He's actually got a name for it. Democrats are going to hate this.
Yeah.
I keep looking in the news. I keep waiting for the first Democrat to freak out over this.
Yeah.
And defend Tren de Aragua.
Yeah.
Because that's coming.
It's coming.
But did you see what happened? You know, it was big news just, 2 weeks ago, that woman, Democrat, threatened to kill Trump. And I don't mean low-key either. I mean, like, said she was very specific about how she was going to do it. She was basically going to take one for the team. She was going to assassinate him. She puts it on X, no fear, nothing, no problems. Well, it was a top 10 in the nation news story. Unfortunately, the jurisdiction is the D.C. court system. The grand jury refused to indict. Those are Democrats.
Yeah.
And I guess they're okay with killing Trump. I don't know. But this has happened for the second time in 2 weeks with the D.C. grand jury. The first time was with that Subway sandwich assaulter guy. I don't know if it's a Subway sandwich, but it was like a deli sandwich.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hit the federal agent with it, which is assault.
Yeah,
couldn't
assault
get
and battery, because if you actually strike him, it's assault and battery, yeah.
Yeah, and if we hit a Democrat, they'd call it assault and battery.
Yeah. Well, it'd be attempted murder if we hit a Democrat, so.
Grand jury declines to indict woman accused of death threats against Trump. And again, this is a city that went 90% for Kamala Harris. Natalie Rose Jones, arrested August 16th in the nation's capital, accused of making death threats against Trump. She wrote, "I am willing to sacrificially kill this POTUS by disemboweling him and cutting out his trachea."
Okay, that's rather specific.
It is very specific.
Does she have like a medical degree or something?
I don't know. But Jean Pirro, who's the D.C. U.S. attorney, called it one of the most serious crimes and one that will be met with swift and unwavering prosecution, which, you know, if you threaten to kill the president online, they're going to come for you. You know that.
Well, if you threaten a Democrat president.
Yeah.
Or vice president.
I'm sorry, but first of all, there's no way Democrats would have just let that slide if this was one of us and we're talking about Joe Biden. There's no way.
Oh, no.
They'd blame Trump for the culture of violence, and you know that grand jury would have indicted.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this shows you dual justice is taking hold. You can't try anything in D.C. It doesn't matter if they actually did it. It doesn't matter if the guy assaulting the federal agent with the Subway sandwich is caught on video doing it. It doesn't matter. They're just going to let him go. And apparently killing Trump's fine, too. This is not good. I mean, I don't know. We can't prosecute. You know what that means? Democrats are watching this. They're like, wow, so if I commit my crimes in D.C., I can get away with it? Pretty much. Looks like it. It's the best thing that's happened to Democrats in a long time. Finding out that Trump has a physical problem that causes swelling in his ankles, bruising on his hands, and they hope early death. Literal celebration of it. These people are whack. As sick as Biden was, we never did anything like this. Trump dead trended all weekend long, and there was a reason for it. And this was it. They hope his swollen ankles, which Caroline Leavitt admitted is a sign of the classical peripheral edema he has. It's often linked to heart failure, and the way that the logic goes is if you have it, and he does have the swollen ankles, best case, 5 to 8 years if your meds keep you stable. Typical case, 2 to 4 years before you go belly up with recurring fluid buildup, and worst case, 12 to 24 months. So they've taken this and the comment that Trump made about, you know, hoping that if he ends the Ukraine war, it'll get him into heaven, and J.D. Vance saying he's, you know, ready to step up and serve in an emergency. And they've taken that and spun it into a conspiracy theory that Trump is at death's door and may actually already be dead. And maybe this is a body double. This is where they are instead of figuring out what they actually stand for and how to sell it to the American people. Meanwhile, Tim Walz is trending. Remember him? The vice president for Her Highness was supposed to be. Here he is talking about how wonderful it would be if Trump was dead.
You get up in the morning and you doom scroll through things. And although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. There will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
It's almost creepy, isn't it? It's like they're getting people used to the idea that Trump might get hit by a CIA heart attack ray gun or something. I mean, I don't know. It just freaks me out when they talk like that. It makes me wonder, like, no, I'm traumatized because they've done it before. Like when they spent a whole summer saying, you will not be allowed this specific fall of 2022 speak of election fraud on social media. And you're like, well, I mean, the election is not for like 5 months. Why are you telling me that? And then the owners of the social media, Zuckerberg, remember? And the guy who owned Twitter, now I'm forgetting his name. Both came out and went, yep, you would know. You're not going to be allowed to speak about voter fraud, not specifically absentee ballot voter fraud. No, can't at all. Not at all during the election. Not allowed to. And we will ban you if you do. And you can't even say it in a message. And we're like, it's August. Why are we talking about this? The election is not till November. And then, lo and behold. So when Democrats start talking about stuff like that, it freaks me out. I have PTSD from it. Like, what are you planning? Y'all planning something? Something we should know about? Or? Yeah, I don't know. All right. Meanwhile, a strange thing has happened. Republicans exposed to Epstein victims have come out, and they now sound exactly like Pam Bondi and Alina Haba, Trump's general counsel, did a few months ago when they were saying how they were going to release the documents. And apparently there's something big there. Take a listen. This is Anna Paulina Luna. She chairs the committee that's responsible for getting these Epstein documents out. 30,000 pages of which, by the way, yesterday were released. People are still going through them. Although they say that a large percentage of those documents we've already seen before, or it's information we already know. But anyway, here she is.
The victims themselves have stated that this is a lot bigger than I think anyone anticipated. We are obviously going to be requesting the SARS reports from Treasury, and also to following up on that. There are some very rich and powerful people that need to go to jail. I think everyone's been frustrated as to why that hasn't happened before. But it is very much so a possibility that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset working for our adversaries. But also, too, I think the questions that we have is how much did our own government know about it? And so.
Whoa. That doesn't sound like there's nothing there. Intelligence asset working for what? Huh. Of course, she doesn't say what makes her think that, which is enough to drive you crazy. She continued.
I do applaud the victims from coming forward, because we heard from a woman who was as young as 14 years old when she was victimized multiple times by Jeffrey Epstein. So that's hard to hear.
Yeah, Nancy Mace was in that meeting, and there's a video online of her coming out in tears. She went on, and this is Anna Paulina Luna.
One thing to note that today, when we're actually talking to some of the victims, one of the women stated that at 14, when Epstein started to victimize her, that she has no recollection of some of the stuff that was done to her. She's hoping to find that out so that she can actually bring it to her therapist and continue the healing process in regards to the damage and the trauma that was caused to her. So, but from what I'm being told, from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of very wealthy, bad people. It's actually scary. to hear some of the stuff that was brought forward. And so I think the only way to collectively attack this is as a group and as a whole, meaning that Democrats and Republicans have to work together and back Comer's subpoenas, because I think this is going to be pretty hairy.
All right. So this is a very weird situation where Donald Trump's administration promoted, remember they promoted, we got the Epstein documents. Pam Bondi said they're on the corner of my desk. You know, his personal attorney, Lena Habba, said Trump's attorney, you know, it's terrible. The Johns are wealthy. They deserve to come to justice. It's going to be great when we release it. They built it up. And then they put these weird binders out with stuff everybody already knew and then thought it would go away. And then it got weirder, remember, because then they were saying, well, the FBI wouldn't give them the stuff. They gave the FBI a deadline. This was as Kash Patel was getting ready to take control of the FBI. Then they blamed the FBI agent in charge of the federal district in New York, made him an offer, you know, we'll either fire you or you quit. He got shoved out the door. So it kind of led people to think, okay, they're going to get their hands on it. Right? They're just trying to get their hands on it. There's people inside trying to keep them from getting their hands on it. But then Trump comes out of the clear blue and says, nah, you can't have it. And if you want it, you're not a supporter of mine. I don't need your support. Okay. And he made other weirdly cryptic comments like Comey and Brennan had spiked the data with fake stuff. The implication there was like about him in the files. So I don't know. So now we got this really weird situation where Republicans are subpoenaing Trump for the information. But then Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of those who supports that, was asked yesterday, okay, like, where is it? And she said, well, some of it's at the FBI, some's at the DOJ, but mostly she said these are in case files in New York and Florida. Well, liberal Democrat judges over the last month have barred us from getting that. So Trump isn't getting that. I mean, Congress can't get it. It's under seal. So, and I don't know where they're going with this exactly. But it's a mess. Marjorie Taylor Greene weighed in on it yesterday as well. She's not a friend of Trump right now. They're kind of in a spat. So here's what she had to say.
Are there any files that the Department of Justice has, you believe, that would...
Wait, that was the wrong one. I'm sorry, it's this one.
Those are some of the most courageous women I've ever met. These are women that have never truly received justice and have gone out and named names and done everything they can, and they have been failed horrifically.
Okay. By who? Failed by who? I mean, who... I'm losing the thread here. Anyway, I just thought I would say James Comer came out, by the way, and he has apparently talked to Bill Barr, and Bill Barr said, no, I don't think Trump's implicated in any of this. Trump's former attorney general, who hates Trump, by the way, and is a Bush loyalist. So I don't know what's up with that. Meanwhile, it gets even weirder. Top 10 story today. This is, you know what this makes me think? This makes me think that the Trump people, the problem here is they just don't even have access to this stuff. So they haven't fully taken over their agencies. Remember when the Epstein cell tape came out and Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino said, hey, look, this shows he killed himself. No one went in his cell. And then we found out, well, a minute of it's missing. And they also lied because the camera wasn't focused on his cell. It was somebody else's cell. It turned out it was the pathway to Epstein's cell, not his actual cell. And then it turned out, okay, yeah, that was the pathway to Epstein's cell. But there was another pathway not caught on the video. They weren't honest. Or they didn't know what they were talking about, one of the two. Yeah, well, then it turns out, remember, there was a minute of that video missing. And Pam Bondi said, oh, that's because it resets every night. It's that way every night. There's a minute missing. Turns out that wasn't true either. But they did get the missing minute. It was put out yesterday and there's nothing on it. Of course, that doesn't mean anything because... the door it's focused at is not Epstein's cell. It's a supply closet. So, I don't know. You got me. I'm baffled. A lot of criticism being leveled at NC State, where NC State, North Carolina State University, Islamic scholar by the name of Abdullah Qadra recently participated in a debate about the merits of Islamic philosophies. What Islamic philosophy? Child marriage. Specifically, the child marriage of the 9-year-old Aisha to Muhammad. So this guy, you know, it's one thing, look, if you have a debate on the internet with some guy, you don't know who he is or whatever, you know, whatever. This was hosted in seriousness by North Carolina State University, who says if a loving father wants to marry off his 9-year-old daughter to a righteous man who wants her, well, folks, you know how the left is. This is why they're getting bold with this stuff. What he's describing here, I will remind you, is not legal. But NC State doesn't seem to have a problem with it. What if we just scrape some guy off the internet who's posting kiddie porn? Well, bring him in. Maybe we could all learn from him. Oh, yeah, no, a relationship with a 9-year-old is totally legitimate. It's not. It's all good. Here's how that debate sounded.
Lady Aisha, God be pleased with her, our mother, the mother of believers. Lady Aisha, God be pleased with her. Yeah, she was young. Now, what's the age of marriage in the U.S.? Every state has a different age. There are some countries outside in the world, girls can marry at 12 years old. Okay, what's the issue of this? If in Africa, girls reach maturity much, much younger, even here in the U.S., I know we have some students from our families, from our acquaintances, the girls grade 5 and they reach maturity, they reach puberty. Very briefly, the worst enemies of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his own time, did not object on this and did not say to him, oh, look, he's marrying a young lady. And in Islam, it's understood it by consensus. You can marry a child, yeah, but you can never have the relationship with her until he's psychologically, physically able. If a father is loving and wanting to marry and give his daughter in marriage to someone who is righteous, well, if the Prophet is here, everyone would love to do that and give his daughter to the Prophet, peace be upon him. So there is nothing wrong with that. That's their culture. You cannot measure your culture to their culture. In the U.S., go to the history. You will find the age of marriage sometimes was 9 years old. And everyone can search now on the internet. It can be 9 years old, 8 years old. It doesn't matter if in that community it's okay and there's no physical harm, there's no harm, psychological harm, and there's no problem, and it is by consent of all parties. What's the issue with that?
Oh, the left is going to love this. No, no, they're going to be all over it. But, you know, he challenged me. You know, go look, 8, 9 years old. It's, you know, it's a history of our country, and I could find that. Like, not ever has that been the history of the country. And he justifies, well, you know, 9 years old. I mean, in some countries, it's 12. Oh, okay, cool. Wait till she's psychologically ready after you marry her off. Who determines when she's psychologically ready? He doesn't say. You know, why it's the husband. That's who. Pedophile. This was hosted by NC State as something we should listen to. Well, you know, it's different cultures. You got to respect other cultures. No, we don't have to. Nope, no, we don't. But it's other cultures, though. We have to learn from that. No, we don't. No, we don't. I love the beginning there. The professor sitting there who's debating him. Look on his face. And he says, Lady Aisha. And the professor goes, no, she's a girl.
Lady Aisha, God be pleased with her. Our mother, child. The mother of believers.
Did you hear him? He says child. She's a child. She's 9. Texter writes, the left has so many problems with Christianity and Judaism, but they smile at this garbage. Yeah, this is pedophilia. We condemn this. This is illegal in our country. Why? Because we have our culture here. If you do not like our culture, go live in your culture in another place. Texter writes, the 9-year-old girl cannot... Folks, again, this is... No, this just... This is here in 2025 at NC State. The 9-year-old girl cannot refuse that marriage. Women are property, just like livestock under Sharia law. Yeah. And folks, you don't think they're serious about implementing this here? Folks, they've already got Sharia courts in the UK. They've already allowed child rape in the UK. In fact, Keir Starmer was key in covering it up. I think it's part of the reason he's censoring. Meanwhile, lest anybody have any doubt of where the left is going, and also why Trump and Rubio are cutting off these Palestinian passports or anybody who has connections to that area of the country. This is from the over the weekend People's Conference on Palestine, which was headlined by a sitting Congress member, Rashida Tlaib. Take a listen. This is just a small montage of what was said there.
We live in an evil country, and that's just what's happening. We have to destroy the idea of America in our heads, in our neighbors' heads, in our comrades' heads, in everybody's heads in this country.
Right. So Congress member, Democrat, of course, Rashida Tlaib was there. She was the headline speaker. And after hearing all that, she spoke last. I'm sure she condemned it. No, I mean, we don't have to destroy America. I mean, we're not.
We are just getting started. I want to say to all of them, every genocide enabler, look at this room's. We ain't going anywhere.
So, no, she didn't condemn any of that. We've got to destroy America. Cool. You want a visa, bud? Yeah, there's a guy at the State Department might want to talk to you. This is why they love immigration. They just can't find Americans to hate America this much. They simply can't. Folks, to me, biggest impact story of the day is not, it is a top 10 story, but it's not the one everyone's going to talk about on talk radio today, but it's the one I care about the most. And it is the arrest of Graham Linneman, comedian. He's over here in America, makes three very milquetoast quotes, essentially making the same old arguments about, you know, a man can't be a woman and a man shouldn't compete against women in sports. I mean, like along those lines. Nothing even personally offensive or, you know, offensive toward anyone individually, right? So he's here. This is the key part. He's in America. He tweets this stuff. He gets on a plane, flies home to the UK, touches down in Heathrow, which is the airport. There are five cops waiting to arrest him for his speech crimes. And part of his bond is he's not allowed to go on social media. I went on his account and I actually read the ones that he posted. Folks, this is milquetoast stuff that you would find in any kind of comment section on that issue. And he was arrested. Now, here's the interesting part. Okay, Mike Benz, who is kind of a free speech guy from the State Department, he's got great posts. He probably knows more than just about anybody on the censorship programs that were run out of the State Department with USAID money. He is saying this morning, there must be hell to pay for this because he posted this stuff while he was on American soil. And Benz is saying, listen, this is why they're going nuts on him right now. They want to set the legal precedent, because that's what everything's about for the left. They want to set the legal precedent that if you say things that violate the Online Safety Act, that violate Britain's censorship laws, and you write them in America where you're temporarily, you're physically here, you're under our constitution, it doesn't matter. You're still going to prison. Now, they're going to start with a UK citizen. He is. But Mike Benz posts, and he's right about this. This is an international incident. He made those tweets in America and the Brits arrested him on his flight out. There must be hell to pay. So flight out, meaning as soon as he landed. This is the precedent they want. They're going to build up to this. And my daughter was asking me the other day, can they do this? And I said, well, there is some legal precedent for it. After all, when Americans commit, say, fraud that violates UK laws, if the fraud is physically in the UK and we come back to America, yeah, we have an extradition treaty. And she said, well, yeah, but it's not physically in the UK. And I'm like, well, with the internet, it is, though. I mean, because the internet is here, yes. social media is here, yes, but it's there too, simultaneously. And that's what they're arguing. This is what the Democrats are working up to. Mike Benz writes, this is an international incident. He made those tweets in America, and the Brits arrested him on his flight out. There must be hell to pay. Yes, we have got to level this, because I'm telling you, this is why John Brennan was over in Ireland just 2 months ago, helping them build their censorship system. The censorship system in Brazil was built by the CIA, but by the FBI. They sent FBI contractors over there to help them build it. In other words, to echo ours. They are constructing this outside this country so that the second a Democrat president takes office, it'll be like a steel trap. Whack. Nobody to defend Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg will just buckle again to the Democrats. It's what he does. And you will have Euroweenie bureaucrats calling for your extradition. Folks, if you don't think this is serious, again, this should have been a huge news story. Elon Musk is under criminal investigation in France. The dude can't leave the country. So is X. And the second this, I'm telling you, we're not even going to be, conservatives aren't going to be able to lead the country. And that's assuming Democrats don't extradite us. I don't even know how we have another Democrat presidency. Let's just hope it never happens again. I feel terrible for comedian Graham Linemann. It's unfortunate.